I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. It's time for the season-ending ATP Finals in London, where Novak Djokovic of Serbia notched a convincing round-robin win over American John Isner, 6-4, 6-3, as the top men's tennis player in the world.
Well, I don't think it's a reason why I was so dominant. I just prepared myself well for the match and obviously executed everything really, really well. But indeed, I do feel a bit less, so to say, pressure coming into a tournament knowing that I secured the number one spot.
Djokovic is on a roll and likes having some breaks along the way.
Well, I'm not too exhausted. I'm feeling fit physically and mentally. Obviously, a good thing about this tournament is that you have days in between matches and you're guaranteed to play three matches in the group. I obviously put myself in a very good position in the group with a straight set win.
Even top-ranked players are impressed by other top athletes, as Djokovic noticed football great Ronaldo was in attendance.
I had colors of his club on my attire tonight. I'm sure he was happy to see that. No, it's great to have a big football star, sports star like him courtside watching tennis. He is a fan of tennis, and it's really nice because he's one of the biggest sports stars in the last decade, and it's great for our sport to have him there. I saw he was there with his family.
Always impressive is Swiss great Roger Federer, even if this season wasn't quite the same as the previous year.
Yeah, I mean, that my season was never going to be exactly like last year. I knew that going into the season, and if you thought I was going to have, I think you are dreaming a little bit. So I'm happy how I played this season, and I didn't feel like playing less was a problem, if that's what it was. I didn't feel I played less per se.
There were some questions about whether Federer has been shown favoritism by some tournament officials in past events, an issue raised this past week by a French sports writer and shot down this week by Federer.
Yes, sometimes we have our say, but I asked to play Monday at the US Open. I played Tuesday night. It's all good. I've had that problem for 20 years in the good way. Sometimes I get help, sometimes I don't. And I think there you have it. And sometimes they come ask, sometimes they don't. But a lot of the facts are not right, just to be clear there.
One point of favor going to the Swiss star was a rare day off from practice between matches. He lost to Kei Nishikori of Japan 7-6, 6-3 before rebounding against Dominic Thiem of Austria 6-2, 6-3.
Yes, and I will do the same again tomorrow because it worked. So important was not about my forehand or my backhand or my serve or anything. I guess it was my head. And for that, sometimes you need a break. I was playing a lot of tennis the last few months, and that's why after the Nishikori match on the way back to the hotel, we came to the conclusion, or the coaches thought, take it easy, enjoy your day with your family, and come out happy.
You know, it's nice to just prove it to yourself every now and again.
45-year-old Lee Westwood did prove he could win. The English golfer snapped a four-year title drought by topping the leaderboard at the Nedbank Golf Challenge at the Gary Player Golf Club in Sun City, South Africa.
Pretty emotional, a little bit relieved. Still got it, I guess. And just nice to do it again under pressure and win against a couple of quality players at the end there. You know, Sergio and Louis were my two nearest challengers.
Westwood's 15 under par was three shots better than Spaniard Sergio Garcia and four over local favorite Luis Oosthuizen. Ross Fisher of England placed fourth on one of the most challenging courses players faced all year.
It's definitely up there, you know, with the heat and the altitude, the grass that you have to play off, and then to factor in the way the wind is around here, yeah, it's definitely up there. I mean, you don't necessarily get punished for missing fairways, but if you miss the rough, then you're in thick bushes.
Li Haotong tied for fifth in another impressive performance by the up-and-coming Chinese golfer.
It's one of the great rounds of the year, actually, especially compared last week. It is really good bounce back. So I think I'm in a good shape, looking forward to the Dubai.
For Lee Westwood, a split with his caddy brought his girlfriend Helen back to the bag and perhaps has given him a new winning edge.
You know, she's caddied twice for me this year, and we lost in a playoff in Denmark and we've won here, so have to have a bit of a rethink, not least about who caddies for me, but you know, percentages.
The European golf season is ending in Dubai at the DP World Tour Championship.
The best thing about it is that you've got to the final event of the year, and you've got a chance of winning the race to Dubai. So it doesn't matter how slim it is, you've had a great year, and you're still filled with excitement coming into this event.
Tommy Fleetwood of England was crowned the top European player for 2017 after last year's event. He's in the running again, behind Italian Francesco Molinari.
The race to Dubai, it's the biggest thing I've ever done, and but having achieved something so great in your career, it's important to kick on and not just sit back and enjoy that. So I think the fast start and what we've done this year has been great, and I'm proud of that.
Rory McIlroy of Northern Ireland has won the event twice and claimed the year-end top ranking three times.
Yeah, it's always good to be back in Dubai. It's a place that I'm very comfortable at. You know, I've been coming here for... I played my first Desert Classic in 2006, and then obviously played a lot of these DP Worlds here at Jumeirah Golf Estates. So I've won a couple of times here, You know, it's I love the golf course here. I think it sets up well for me.
McIlroy is looking to a new driver in his bag to help him out.
Just had a driver that wasn't spinning enough, and any time it got offline, it really got offline. And that's part of my game that's always been very strong that I've really struggled with this year. I feel like if I had driven the ball better this year, I would have won a few more times.
Lee Westwood is coming off of his win in South Africa and last one in Dubai 9 years ago.
You know, you have to have had a good year to play in this tournament, and you know, it's kind of a celebration of the European Tour of the whole year, and it's a good finale to the year. I think it's a well-established tournament on the schedule now.
This week presents a different challenge.
Well, it's a completely different golf course to last week at Nedbank. There's a lot more room. The greens are a little different. They're more grainy than I've seen in the past. I think it's a bit more of a birdie fest here. You know, you've got to try and shoot low. Depending on the weather, obviously, if it gets a bit windy, it can get tricky.
Coming off a successful showing at the Asian Games in Indonesia, China has its sights set on the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo with the signing of veteran 71-year-old Dutchman Guus Hiddink by the Chinese Football Association to coach its under-21 team for a reported $4.7 million. Cameron Wilson is a Shanghai-based Scot who operates a website that monitors Chinese football activity called Wild East Football.
He's very highly rated and well-respected, but he really has his work cut out because, as I think most of the international world knows now, China has put a big emphasis on its football. It very much wants to improve its team, which has underachieved for a long time. And they have all kinds of investment and new rules designed to boost the development in the game. But he's under a lot of pressure because, as it stands, the under-23 team, which is the team he has been put in charge of, is still... The achievement is still not very good.
Hiddink joins 70-year-old Italian coach Marcello Lippi, who has been with the team since 2016 and is rumored to be the highest-paid international coach in the world.
Well, Lippi's another world-famous coach. He's one of the most successful coaches in world soccer history. I think he is definitely someone who, if he can't get the Chinese team to play well, then I think they'll be struggling to find anyone else better. Lippi is in charge of the full men's national team, whereas Hiddink's in charge of the under-23 team. So I think part of the problem in the Chinese football setup in the past is that the different parts of it have not always worked in harmony. I think there's one hand, the left hand hasn't always known what the right hand's been doing. So I think both the guys need to coordinate their actions to make sure that all the investment on the emphasis put into the game doesn't go to waste.
China's leadership released a reform plan back in 2015 with the goal of providing football training in 50,000 schools by the year 2025 and two major training facilities to ensure China becomes an international contender. China has only reached the World Cup finals once in 2002 and will have to work hard to reach the Tokyo Olympics.
China hasn't qualified since 2008 for Olympic football, and that, of course, was when China hosted the Olympics. The way the Chinese football system works, the way the government works, they have such emphasis and they put such importance on Olympics as a whole concept. So the expectation and the pressure is really high, and I think Hiddink is going to have his work cut out trying to make the team qualify for this tournament. The national team They have underachieved for such a long time. They have a well-established league in China since 2004. Actually, around the same time the Major League Soccer in the States started up, the Chinese Professional League began as well. The last World Cup in Russia, the States had qualified for every single World Cup since they established Professional Soccer League. Whereas in China, they've not qualified once in 2002 when the World Cup was in Japan and Korea. And ever since then, they've not been at a World Cup at all. So this is why we've seen the big push by the government to use football and to thrust the Chinese football into the world limelight and improve the businesses. But they're still struggling quite badly, to be quite frank.
Cameron Wilson said despite China's vast resources, it still lacks a sports culture necessary to foster competitive teams. He said the emphasis remains that the young continue to spend their spare time studying, not playing sports, in order to achieve a good education so they can earn a well-paying job to care for their aging parents. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.